Hey Vaughn, how are you?
Hey, I'm very well, thanks. Good to meet you, Debbie.
Well, we've spoken before for inheritance. Yes, we did.
It's really good to reconnect, Debbie.
You have such a way with thrillers, and you did it there with inheritance, which I absolutely loved the way you built that up for Lily's character. And here, once again, in Cellar Door, you are building up the tension. And of course, along with Scott Speedman's character of John, at the audience, the entire film is going, what's behind the cellar door? What's behind the cellar door? So as much as it's annoying him and eating away at him, it's doing the same thing to us. And it just makes for such an incredible ride, especially when we get to that third act finale and you just go, oh my God. So well done, Vaughn.
Oh, Debbie, thank you. Can you tell my mum this? She really, really appreciate
I will tell anybody's mother that, about their work.
this.
It's so good. It starts out all nice and okay. We miscarry, we lose a baby, we're miserable. Then somebody wants to give us a free house. Of course, Emmett never mentions that he'll pay the property taxes. So this could be part of the issue here. Wondering, are we going to have to pay the property taxes besides not being able to look in the cellar? You build and build and build. And you're working with Michael Merriman again as your cinematographer. The imagery, the visual tonal bandwidth is stunning, Vaughn. We feel the grandeur of this house, but also the warmth of the woods, and that, yes, this really was a home at one time filled with people. And that really comes across. Where did you start with this? When the script came to you, where did you even start breaking this down so that you could use the tools in the toolbox, make it look absolutely gorgeous, hit all the emotional beats, and keep us squirming in our seats the same way John is squirming about the cellar door.
That is a great question. I think for me, and actually Debbie is an inheritance fan, I think you'll appreciate this. I love stories and I'm attracted to scripts that have like a real sort of dark, elegant simplicity to like their central premise, right? So with Inheritance, it was a monster in the basement story. With Cellar Door, it was a Faustian bargain. This idea, this central conceit that sort of drives all the mechanics of the film is like, what would you do for the perfect life? What would you give up? What would you sacrifice? What, as one of the characters says, what cost is your soul, right? And I think for me, like that as a driving premise, that as something to sort of latch onto, it really hooked me. And there was something about this grieving couple who suffered a miscarriage and who are looking to start afresh, who are looking for pastures new, who are seduced, for want of a better word, by this reclusive, eccentric, suave millionaire living in the house on the hill, who makes them this offer that's impossible to refuse. Like, who offers them this house on this one condition, this one serpent in the Garden of Eden, right? Like, you cannot sell her. And I think that for me, that was my starting point. That was my genesis. What would I do? What would these characters do? How would they react? And the sort of spectrum of personality says that, that people sit on varying degrees of this spectrum. Like, some people will be able to make their deal with the devil and just move on happily in their life. They'll be able to say, right, I've made a promise, I've made a commitment, that's what I'm going to do, I'm going to leave the center alone. And that's Sarah's end. And then at John's end, you've got this paranoia, this kind of gnawing need to know that eats away at him, eats away at him. And what's really interesting in this script and what's beautifully done is, these characters, Sarah blossoms. She's able to accept the deal and move forward with her life, and she goes back to work. She grows, she flourishes. Whereas John, who you know, frankly, is carrying sins and guilt and lies and sin into this relationship, he can't cope with it. Like, for him, like, that the seller is, he has to know. It becomes this fixation that sort of ends up basically destroying his life. And I don't know, I think for me, that combination of this really intricate, beautifully crafted, dark thriller that leans into genre with this kind of sort of contemporary look at, like, marriage and personality and what happens when we lie constantly, how lies beget lies, how deceit begets deceit. I think that really drew me to it as a filmmaker.
Well, and also it's got a cellar door, another basement. You seem to like basements too, Vaughn.
You have a basement.
You have to have a basement in all of your films. I am mandating this. Because you play with that so well. And here, it's because John has his own, all of his secrets, they're locked in his basement. So we've got that great analogy happening between the cellar door and what's hidden behind there and everything that John is hiding. And I love that analogy.
I think you've hit it beautifully. It's a physical manifestation, right? That's the thing that I think is really interesting about Cellar Door as a film. Like, it is, we all have these cellars in us, right? We all carry lies and deceit and shame and these things that we all want to bury away, like in a small cellar at the end of a dark corridor somewhere in our hearts, right? And the fact that this house, this script is able to sort of hauntingly and very beautifully, like, create a physical metaphor, sounds ridiculous, but you know what I mean. Like,
yeah.
It is a physical manifestation. This analogy comes to life, and I think for me, I found that really exciting.
That's one thing I love about your films, Vaughn, is that you have, there is metaphor within the visuals. You always have a lot of metaphor, and here we've got that metaphor, that analogy happening. But also, you take a look at the baby nursery and the shades of green that are being looked at. Somebody might think green, it's gender neutral, all of this, but the green also, green is envy. Is John envious of seeing Sarah with her perfect life that he does not feel connected to? You have these little touches that pop up throughout your production design that I just love. And then you call on Michael's camera work. Your visual grammar in this one is really terrific.
Well, I mean, I stand on the shoulders of giants there. I'm incredibly lucky to have amazing department heads. To sort of answer the first part first, like, I love the trail of breadcrumbs that you can give to an audience to allow them to sort of, you know, to join the hunt, right? To put clues in the clue bag. And I think for me, like, I really enjoy playing with sort of, I enjoy playing with metaphor, I enjoy playing with color, what color means, and how we can imbue frames with a sense of meaning that we can show without saying. And an amazing, amazing production designer who was note perfect in the palettes that she chose. And we played a lot with greens. I think of green as being quite a sort of a gothic color anyway. When you think of, like, Shelley or Poe, there's a lot of kind of verdant sort of wild greenery. There's a lot of houses set in, you know, in fields or in forests. And it is that sort of, there's a wildness to green that I think is really fun to tap into.
Mm-hmm.
Like you picked up on, it's envy. It's the color of envy. And it is, envy comes in many forms. And
yeah.
John's, you know, whether John is envious of Sarah's ability to sort of, you know, to move past the Faustian bargain is interesting. And I'd like the audience to make that decision, but it's also that idea that he cannot help himself, right? Like, he is so possessed with this obsession, this sort of this need to pick at the bones of the house. That I think, you know, finding ways of sort of telling that was a big thing for myself and Michael and Angela. And Michael did such an amazing, amazing job as well of sort of creating you know, sort of building frames where these things were apparent. Like, you know, the house had to serve two masters. Like, for Jordana, for Jordana's character Sarah, like, as I said, she flourishes and blossoms in this house. She grows and she nurtures it. And we were able to frame her in a way that she felt confident and beautiful in the frame. Like, she was clearly at ease and empowered in the house. Whereas for Scott, it's a gilded cage. It's a prison. Like, his life is falling apart in this house. Like, the lies are coming to the front. You know, he gets suspended for work for allegations of sexual harassment. Like, these things start building up on him. And for Merriman to be able to sort of put him in this cage, to frame him in these really elegant ways that made him feel trapped, claustrophobic, like, small, you know, sort of diminutive within it. It was, I mean, I'm so lucky. He's, you know, he's an incredibly talented DP, and he really embraces that. It was, yeah, as I said, I was very, very lucky to have such great HODs.
I really love what Michael does, what you do with the visual grammar and the framing, particularly with John. And one of the first times we really see, you know, number one, I like the fact that you utilize existing frames, door frames, window frames, things like that, that really hone in the eye so that we're subconsciously thinking claustrophobia, the door is closing, the walls are closing in. Where it really stands out and you really start picking up speed with the tension and using the lensing, the lighting and lensing for that, is with the party scene, the housewarming scene. And he's off by himself, shrouded in with the wooden staircase, the banister and rails behind him, the wooden walls. There is no air around him. There's no color. And I thought that was so striking. And you could see, Scott's such a fine actor, you could see on his face, he was scared to death and miserable at the same time, and he felt those walls closing in. And I just thought that was such a beautifully shot sequence, Vaughn. Just so well thought out. And that really, it starts snowballing from there. As we get into hidden spaces and crawl spaces, and everything is blacker and darker. And oh, what Michael did with that negative space, lovely.
Yeah, I'm spot on. There was a lot of thought that went into that framing and those sort of those frames within a frame. You know, we sort of were like kind of looking back at, like, you know, the sort of noir masters, and particularly actually sort of, you know, sort of early Hitchcock, and that use of sort of creating that feeling of almost like prison bars. Like, so yeah, that was a big thing for us. That staircase kind of gave that sense of like vertical struts, like the sort of the imprisoning fact. And we always tried to frame Scott in it and Jordana above it, so that she, you know, her frames felt much less constricted, much less claustrophobic. But I have to give so much credit to the actors here. Like, Jordana and Scott, like, absolutely elevated. Like, they took those characters and they ran with them, and they imbued them with this sort of, this sense of, like, authenticity of naturalism. And, you know, there's only, like, you know, Merriman's supremely talented, and I do what he says, and he makes me look good. But it's that thing of, like, when you have that incredible raw material in front of camera, when you've got Jordana, like, absolutely nailing it, being able to show such subtlety and nuance and be able to do so much with a look, and then you've got Scott on the other side of it as he's sort of coming apart at the seams, becoming more and more sort of frayed and difficult and snappy and haggard, and it's all done so subtly. Like, there was so much that came from the chemistry of those two. Like, I'm incredibly grateful to them for really, like, breathing, like, real, like, organic, like, they were able to make it very, very real with a big R. And I think that's, sometimes you can sort of, you know, you can fall off the tracks with stuff like this. You can end up in melodrama, and they never let that happen. They were wonderfully on point in their performances.
The house is such a character in this film, Vaughn. How difficult was it to find this house, this location?
We kissed a lot of frogs. We spent a lot of time on a scout bus, but we knew it had to be right. We knew it had to be perfect. And we looked at a real variety, and then, you know, we found this very sort of Poe-esque gothic pile on a top of, you know, surrounded by trees at the top of a hill looking down on Portland. And we just, myself, Michael, Angela, the designer, Craig and Sheila, the producers, we just, you know, we just all kind of stood there like, well, this is it. This is, this delivers. And what we didn't want to do was fall into sort of stereotype, to fall too far into genre. We didn't, you know, the house couldn't be gothic and intimidating and sort of palatial without being able to feel like it could have been a house given to them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just perfect in terms of sort of size and scope, and we were able to shoot it in a way that sort of really brought it to life, and it was beautifully detailed, like in terms of design and set deck. So I think it was just that thing. The house was so key, and we lucked out. We found the perfect house, and yeah, it was a real... There were points that we were looking at contemporary, or we were looking at mid-century modern, and we were maybe trying to stay away from the Baroque, away from the Gothic. And when you find a house like that that serves the story so elegantly and works so perfectly, like, we embraced it wholeheartedly.
And I love the fact that you're shooting in one house. You're not going to five different houses to create one house, so that we feel the flow. The flow that Sarah sees and feels as she's, you know, bustling about and decorating and painting and things. Not there's that much to change because everything is so beautifully apportioned. But I like the flow of shooting all in the one location. And it
really... It makes such a difference. Like, we were so lucky that we could, you know, obviously, you know, the seller, for example, was a set build, and we did a lot of augmenting. But to have that depth of field, right, to be able to... particularly at night, to be able to let for Merriman to be able to use practicals and use kind of beautiful, like, dabs of light, sort
mm-hmm.
of, you know that gave this sort of odd, beautiful and slightly sinister depth to our frames was just such a gift, you know. And like you said, it was, like, particularly for Sarah, you know, she needs to flow, you know, she's the queen of this castle. Like, for her to be able to sort of organically move rooms, and for us to be able to track the action when, you know, in terms of the camera language, to be able to have that fluidity, to be able to give a sense of a constantly evolving story, that was, you know, it was a gift that we couldn't turn down.
Now, I'm curious, I've got to find out about your editing on this one, Vaughn, because the way you are incrementally building the tension, using your visuals and your performances to do that so seamlessly, how challenging was the edit on this one to find those very specific building block beats?
It's a really good question. It was tough, but it was more an agony of choice, right? Like, you know, Alex, the editor, Alex Marquez, he did such a phenomenal job in terms of telling the story. But I think what we had was sort of, we had so much, like, the performances were so great, the cinematography was so beautiful. It was, what we needed to stay true to was the sort of lean, mean, dark fairy tale that we all kind of fell in love with in the script. Like, we wanted it to be short and sharp. We were, you know, I always work for, like, a tight 90. I think that's a really good rule of thumb for me, like, as a filmmaker, like, to be able to be sort of merciless in the way that you're in and out of scenes, to keep an audience, like, on the roller coaster as much as you can. Like, I think editorially, like, what we wanted were two things. It was, like, a sense of pacing that felt fluid but not rushed, and it was also to create and maintain, like, that kind of gnawing dread that drives the narrative, that sort of constant, creepy, sinister feel. And I think between editorial and Marlon Espino, the unbelievable composer, I think we were able to, well, I hope we were able to sort of create that feeling, that unsettling but enjoyable feeling of an audience of sort of genuinely not knowing what's around the corner, genuinely not knowing where the next twist or turn is going to be.
And that comes through in spades, Vaughn, just in spades. And you mentioned twists and turns. Yeah, we've got the what's around the corner here again, metaphorically within the house, the twists and turns. Also, what's happening out on the street out there when John panics and is chasing cars? Twists and turns, literally and figuratively. Just so well done, Vaughn. I've only watched this film twice already. because I'm so invested in it, and it's so fantastic. Especially the reveals. The reveals that you give us just are mind-blowing.
Oh, well, thank you, truly. I was so blessed with this cast and crew, and they just did such a phenomenal job. I think that was the thing. I think that it was, because it was there in such a great script and had such a wonderful cast, to be able to build steadily to the rug pull, to the reveal. And, you know, I'm a huge dark thriller fan. I love psychological thrillers. I love thrillers that sort of play on the edges of the psychological, of the supernatural, like, you know, that we can just pose the audience questions and then lead them to that great rug pull moment, to that great the mask coming off in that one, that, you know, which is a convention of all great genre films, of all great thrillers. And I think to be able to do that with this in such a holistic way, in such a sort of complete way, I really love the experience, and I really hope the audience love it, because it's a wonderful twisty dark thriller, and I hope we did it justice.
It's a twisty dark thriller, but with cinematography that keeps it lighter toned overall, so we're not plunged into darkness, and we can see the moving parts and elements. And that is a real tricky balance, and you and Michael pull that off beautifully.
Oh, thank you so much, David. That's so kind.
So when do I get to see the canyon?
Where are we? We're in VFX. We are, do you know what? I'm sorry, I actually don't know, because we haven't got a date from our distributor yet, but it'll be hopefully early next year.
Oh, how rude of them. Don't keep me in suspense. I can't wait to see this one. I assume there's no basement, though.
No basement, unfortunately. I'll do a quick... We'll do some additional photography. We'll get one in there. Don't worry.
Oh, thank God. Oh, Vaughn, this has once again been such a lovely, lovely joy getting to talk with you. And another winner in my book. You made me happy with Cellar Door.
Thank you, Debbie. That's incredibly kind. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Vaughn, thank you. And hopefully we'll get to chat for the canyon.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Fingers crossed. I'd love to talk again.
Oh, thank you. You can have a great rest of your week.
Thanks. And you.